that. And so you can pray for that because it is a real blessing to people in ministry. And then last weekend, we had the prayer summit here in Grand Prairie, and it was an excellent day with Daniel Anderson. We had people from La Crete and Manning and Peace River, Fort St. John, Dawson Creek, Valley View, and we prayed for the different regions of our peace country, asking for God's blessing and help. And he trained us in how to lead transformational prayer gatherings in our churches, and so we're trusting that there will be a ripple effect in the congregations around the peace country. So please keep that in your prayers. But we thank you for your kindness and your support of Refresh Ministries. We'd like you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 to 9. And I've entitled my message this morning, A Right Heart in a Wrong World. A Right Heart in a Wrong World. Before we read the scripture, I'll just give a couple of stories. This past week, I was talking with a missionary friend of ours in Nigeria, and he was reporting to me incidents that have been taking place in the area where we served when we were in Nigeria. Around this little town of Miango, there's little villages scattered out in the countryside, but there's been all kinds of stuff going on there in terms of conflict with Christian-Muslim conflict. There's been some tribal and land battles going on, and just one of the incidents that took place just over a week ago now is that because of all the unrest, there's been actually a number of mass killings that have gone on there, but because of all the unrest, people are living in a lot of fear, and so some security people, or people posing as security people, came into the village and said, we're going to protect you, we all need to go to the school. And so they took a bunch of women and children to the school to protect them, only to have some herdsmen, Fulani herdsmen, come in and slaughter them. So there's 23 people killed right there in the school, and this has been going on in the world. Now, Miango, where we were working, was such an kind of an idyllic African village, and if you look out in the countryside around it, it was an idyllic country village, African village. But in their world, something has gone so very wrong. Last spring, I was speaking at the Salvation Army Church here in Grand Prairie, and after the service, a lady came to me. She was probably 65, 70 years old, and we were talking, and she says, I don't know what it is, but something is off in our world. Something is wrong. Friday, as I overheard a group of people talking in a restaurant, and they were talking about our country and talking about economic and political and religious matters, all kinds of stuff, security issues, and the theme was the same. These are average people sitting in a restaurant, and they're saying something has gone wrong, something is off. So I'm going to take you to a scripture. I don't know if you've ever been in a tough situation and somebody says that something tough has happened and somebody says something completely inappropriate. I remember once I was going to a home where the husband actually had passed away because of an accident, just a newly married couple. And it was only hours after the accident, and people came over and were trying to comfort me. They said, we're going to start praying for you for a new spouse. And I thought, that's a little bit close to the moment to be saying something like that. That seems so inappropriate. Well, we have a text here where Jesus says something so inappropriate, or at least it seems at first reading. But he actually teaches us about having a right heart in a world that's gone wrong. So would you stand with me? I'm going to read from Luke chapter 1, or 13, verses 1 to verse 9. Luke chapter 13, verses 1 to 9. Now on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus said to them, do you suppose these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits? which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and he did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you that it speaks to us in the realities of our world. And I ask that you would help us learn to understand a little bit better how to have a light heart when our world goes wrong. Thank you. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Jesus is responding to some people who ask a question about their world. How do you respond when something has gone wrong? I'm going to make a couple comments about the world gone wrong that we see in this text. In the first one, there was a troubling act of intentional evil. Jesus is commenting on an incident when some people from Galilee came and asked him to comment on a horrific event that had taken place in the temple in Jerusalem. So, during the Passover, as people were offering sacrifices, some of them had been butchered by Pilate's troops. And it says their blood was mixed with the blood of the sacrifices. It was a horrible, horrific event. People in a place of worship, and the soldiers are sent in, and the people are slaughtered, and their blood is scattered in the holy place. It was a horrible, terrible, horrific event. It would be a little bit like the Canadian army coming in on orders of the government and starting to shoot us down here this morning. That would be a horrific event, just to put your mind in the place where these folks were at. This atrocity was a bloody violation of life and of worship. It was an intentional act of evil. We live in a time in a country that has been very blessed by security, but more and more we are aware of intentional acts of evil. Whether it be a terrorist attack on a police officer in Edmonton who just returned to work this week, we can thank God for that. Or the mass slaughter of concert goers in Las Vegas where a lady from Valley View lost her life. The crimes that happen around us, there are intentional acts of evil in our time. How do we have a red heart in that? Some of you may be sitting here this morning and you've had your world go wrong through someone's intentional acts of evil. It may not have been, not that you've been in some place where a gunman is raining down bullets, but it might have been in the secrecy of a home where you've been victimized by someone. We live in a world where there are intentional acts of evil. But not only that, there are accidents that happen. He talks about the Tower of Siloam that fell, and a good number of 18 people died in that accident. As he's commenting on the incident in Jerusalem, reflect on some of Jesus' words here. It says in verse 2 to 5, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? I tell you no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." How would you like to recount a tragedy and then the person says to you, "You need to repent"? It doesn't seem like great advice right at the moment. I don't know. "Or do you suppose that those 18 in the Tower of Siloam, when the Tower of Siloam told of how the King Frederick II, an 18th century King of Prussia, was visiting the prison. And in Berlin, and the inmates, all that saw the king thought, oh, here's my opportunity to get out. And so they all tried to prove to him how they had been unjustly imprisoned. All except one. That one sat quietly in the corner while all the rest protested their innocence. Seeing him sitting there oblivious to the commotion, the king asked him what he was in for. Armed robbery, Your Honor. The king asked, were you guilty? Yes, sir, he answered. I entirely deserve my punishment. The king then gave the order to the guard, release this guilty man. I don't want him corrupting all these innocent people. But that man's freedom came as he in fact really repented of what he had done. His freedom began with repentance. And the freedom we need from sin due to its judgment begins when we change our mind about Jesus. And the same works that struggles in our Christian life. When we repent, it opens a way for Christ to come into that area. That's why repentance is so important. So, first of all, keep your heart right regarding the victims in our world when things go wrong. Secondly, the lifestyle of repentance helps us have a right heart in the known world. And the third thing is, take advantage of the grace of God. In that little parable about this fig tree is supposed to be producing fruit, and after 3 years, nothing's there. So, customarily, from what I was reading about fig trees, I don't have any fig trees in my garden in Sexsmith. It would be very interesting, but I don't think they grow here very well. But apparently, after
some of you need to talk to God about what's the driving passion of your life. Maybe your passion has been to live for things here and not store treasures in heaven. Or maybe some of you, God is putting on your heart somebody who you know that doesn't know Christ. And you can pray for them right now, but maybe ask for an opportunity to share with them how to have a right heart in a wrong world. Talk to God now, and then I will close in prayer. Lord Jesus, there are difficult things happening in our world right now. A lot of unsettling things, troubling things. We still live in a very blessed place in our world, and we thank you for that. But thank you that you have shown us how to have a right heart in a world that's gone wrong. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the ultimate solution. That we know that when our life on this planet ends, we will be in your presence. So I pray that all those in this room, if not even today, will one day turn to you. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to live with a repentant lifestyle when our heart is moved to be passionate a bit more passionate about things of this earth than things in heaven. Give us the grace to change our mind about that. And for those in our culture now who don't know you, but whose hearts have been shaken by the events of our world, I pray that your Spirit would draw them to yourself. And I pray that you would give us boldness to share with them how to have a right heart in a wrong world. Thank you for the Claremont Community Church. Thank you for raising it up. Thank you for their faithful witness to you. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you for the blessing that they are in this community. I pray that you would keep them from the evil one, and I pray that you would bless them with wisdom, with guidance, empower them with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that they could boldly proclaim your message in this community. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Lyndon. Would you rise and stand and join us for our closing worship?